議長並びに列席の皆様、長崎の被爆者谷口住人でございます。私は1945年8月9日当時16歳の時、長崎の爆心地から1.8キロのところを自転車で走っていて被爆しました。三重道四重道とも言われる強烈な熱線と放射線によって背後から焼かれ、次の瞬間猛烈な爆風によって自転車ものとも4メートル近く飛ばされ道路に弾き合いました。
Chairperson, distinguished delegates and dear friends, I am Taniguchi Sumiteru, a Nagasaki Hibakusha. Thank you very much for giving me the honor of speaking before you on behalf of the 230,000 Japanese airborne survivors and peace-loving NGOs of the world. In 1945, I was 16 years old. On the morning of August the 9th, I was riding my bicycle 1.8 kilometers north of the epicenter of the air bomb explosion. When the bomb exploded, I was burned on my entire back by the intense heat rays of 3,000 to 4,000 degrees Celsius, and also exposed to invisible radiation. The next moment, together with my bike, I was blown about 4 meters and smashed to the ground by the blast. When the blast ended, I looked up and found that the buildings around me had been smashed down, and those children who had been playing around me were blown away and scattered here and there. I was struck by the fear of death, thinking that a big bomb had been dropped nearby. But I kept telling myself that I must not die like this. When the commotion seemed to be over, I raised myself and found my entire left arm had been burned, with the skin hanging from it like a tattered rag. I reached for my back and found that it too had been burned. Something slimy and black stuck on my fingers. My back was bent and twisted, completely out of shape. Houses were all flattened. Fires were breaking out from these houses and from the trees on the hillside. The children that had been blown away were all dead. Some were burned black, while others seemed uninjured. There was a woman whose hair was all burned and lost. Her face was so swollen that she could not open her eyes. She was injured from head to toe and groaning in pain. I still recall the scene as if I saw it only yesterday. I deeply regret even today that I could not do anything for those who were suffering and desperately calling for help. Many hibakusha were severely burned and died calling for water. I wandered around like a sleepwalker and reached a nearby factory set up in a hillside tunnel. I asked a woman to tear off the burnt skin dangling from my arms. She tore a piece of cloth out of what was left of my shirt, put machine oil to it, and wiped my arms. Together with other people, I was told to evacuate somewhere else from the tunnel before another possible strike. I tried with all my strength, but I couldn't even get up, let alone walk. A man carried me on his back to the top of a mountain and laid me down under a tree. Many people around me, before they breathed their last, asked other people there to remember their names and home addresses to their family members. They died one after another, crying, "Water, give me water." When the night came, U.S. fighters flew over and attacked us. Some stray bullets hit the rock next to me and fell on the grass. At night, there was a drizzling rain. I sucked the water dripping from the leaves and spent the night. In the morning, I found all who around me were already dead. I spent another night there, and in the morning of the third day, I was rescued and taken to the neighboring city, 27 kilometers from Nagasaki. By that time, the city's hospitals were all full of victims, so I was taken to an elementary school, which had been turned into a makeshift clinic. 3 days later, the sixth day from the bombing, my wound started to bleed heavily, and with it, I started to feel the pain. For more than a month, I could not receive any proper medical treatment. All they could do to me was to burn newspapers, blend their ashes with oil, and apply it to my wound. In early September, the Nagasaki University Hospital managed to restart its operation at an elementary school in Nagasaki City, though the school building had no windows due to the blast. I was sent there, and for the first time, I received what could be called medical treatment. First, doctors tried to give me a blood transfusion, but their blood wouldn't go into my vessels, probably because my internal organs were badly damaged. I suffered serious anemia, and the burnt flesh started to rot. The rotten flesh would drain out of my body and puddle underneath. Nurses placed rags underneath my body to collect the filthy discharges and replaced them many times a day. Generally, those hibakusha who suffered burns or injuries were infested with maggots on their flesh. Those tiny worms got into their bodies from the wounds and ate their flesh. But for me, this did not happen until 1 year later. It was so unbearably painful when they bit my wounds. This is a picture of me taken on January the 31st, 1946. I could not stir an inch, helplessly lying on my stomach in excruciating pain and agony. I was crying, "Kill me." No one believed that I would survive another day. Every morning, I would hear doctors and nurses whisper at my bedside, "Oh, he's still alive." Later, I learned that my family was all prepared for my funeral. Because I could not move myself, my chest suffered severe bed sores, even to the bones. As a result, my chest now looks like it has been deeply scooped. And even today, you can clearly see my heart beating against the skin between the ribs. It took 1 year and 9 months before I was finally able to move. And after 3 years and 7 months, I was discharged from the hospital, though I was not completely cured. I went in and out of the hospital many times and continued having treatment until 1960. Around 1982, tumors started to develop on the keloid scars on my back, and they had to be removed by surgery. Since then, a rock-hard tumor was formed again and again, the cause of which even doctors are unable to explain. More than half a century has passed since that day. The painful experiences of the past seem to be lost from people's memory. But I fear the oblivion. I fear that forgotten memories might lead us to a renewed affirmation of atomic bombs. There is a color film on the atomic bombings that contains the footage of myself as one of numerous victims. Whenever I see it, I relieve the pain and feel the hatred for war growing inside me again. I am not a guinea pig, nor am I an exhibit. But those of you who are here today, please don't turn your eyes away from me. Please look at me again. I have survived miraculously, but for me, to live was to endure the agony. The atomic bomb survivors who reached the maximum number of 380,000 at one time, have now decreased to 230,000. Bearing the cursed scars of the atomic bomb all over our bodies, we, the Hibakusha, continue to live in pain. Nuclear weapons are weapons of extinction that cannot coexist with humans. They should never, ever be used for any reason whatsoever. Possession of nuclear weapons, or even an intention to acquire them, is against humanity. Having gone through the first hell of nuclear war in August 65 years ago, we learned the horror of nuclear weapons instinctively. There is no defense against nuclear attacks, and there can be no retaliation against them. If a nuclear weapon is to be used for the third time, it would immediately lead to the annihilation of human beings and the end of all life on planet Earth. Humans must survive in peace and prosperity.
そのために皆で最大の力を出し合って核兵器のない世界を作りましょう。人間が人間として生きていく世の中を作るためには、核兵器を地球上に一発たりとも核兵器を残してはなりません。私は核兵器がこの世からなくなるのを見届けなければ安心して死んでいけません。長きを最後の被爆者とするため、私を最後の被爆者とするため、核兵器廃絶の声を全世界に。
So friends, let all of us unite and gather our strength to create a world without nuclear weapons. For humans to live as humans, not even one nuclear weapon should be allowed to exist on Earth.I cannot die in peace until I witness the last nuclear warhead eliminated from this world. Nagasaki must remain the last victim city of the atomic bomb. And let me be the last victim of the atomic bomb. Let us spread our call for the abolition of nuclear weapons all over the world.
No more Hiroshima. No more Nagasaki. No more Hibakusha. ありがとうございました。